Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Well, welcome to the last part of the series we kicked off this year with, and that is first, all about the order being important and the order of our priorities being important. I want to just acknowledge that I am in the Super Bowl specifically for the commercials, okay? That's what I'm going for. And I want to invite those of you who Lee mentioned before, if you want to go to Connect One, to go ahead and stand up and head out now at this time. And while we're doing that, while you're going, I'd like for CLT, for you to put your hands together and let's welcome all of our guests today. Let's do that, yeah. So thanks for those of you who are going to Connect One, and I think it's going to be a great time for you to learn about the church and about how God has priorities for each of us. So today we are wrapping up this series called First, and we've been talking about the capitals of our life, specifically as the Scripture lays them out. And God actually tells us in His Word that there are some specific capitals that make up life in His way of doing things, and in fact, if we live according to those, that we will have an abundant life. We've talked about spiritual capital, that's what we'll cover today. We've talked about relational capital, we've talked about physical capital, that is managing our time and energy the way that is balanced and how we should have work and rest. We talked about specifically our intellectual capital and how we can have intellectual capital, but if we don't use it to help other people, then we're being a little bit selfish with it, and God wants us to use that intellectual capital to bless other people. And then the one we started with was actually the one that we often start with in our lives, which is financial capital. And God says, actually, financial capital should not be in the first place of our life, but should be in the last place of our life. If we will put those things in the right order, that God will take care of the financial piece of our life. And so we'll look at that today. We're going to look at spiritual capital because we believe that living a spiritually connected life is vital to us as a church and as a people. That's one reason we launched the Connect track today, because we wanted to emphasize that as we work towards this end of seeing people's lives changed and transformation happening, the Connect track is a way for people to take next steps spiritually. We want to give you a clear pathway to grow as a follower of Jesus. Connect One is today. That's for you to connect with God and with the Church of Lake Travis to learn about partnership here at the church. Connect Two is to connect with your faith and small groups. Small groups, we believe, are one of the best ways that you can grow in your faith. And as Lee mentioned, we launched those this week coming up, and it's super easy to get connected to a small group. You just look on this list. Where'd it go? I've got it here. This list that you have in the bulletin, and you see they're broken down into categories: couples, men, women, families, outreach, all those different categories. You can choose one or two that you think might work for your schedule. Email the leader, tell them you're coming, ask them specific address information and all that, and they'll get back with you, and you can just start going. It's that easy, and make it a regular part of your rhythm in life to help you grow spiritually. So that Connect 2 will be talking about that, along with some other spiritual disciplines that we can all have in our life. Connect 3 is really all about your purpose and how God has uniquely created you as an individual and how you can discover what that uniqueness is. And then Connect 4 is, now that you know that, how can you connect with your ministry team and get involved using that? So again, that's just a way for you to take those steps each and every week. You may be coming here for 3 or 4 months before you actually decide to start on your journey here with us at CLT. We know that, we know some people take 3 or 4 months just to fill out a connection card because you're like, I don't know if I trust those people because I'm not giving them my information. We're not going to ever show up at your doorstep and harass you. If you give us your information, all we want to do is write you and say thanks for being with us. So that's kind of a little bit of information on what we were talking about when we said Connect Track and how all of this is designed to help keep first things first. When Jesus was talking, we shared this verse last week in Mark chapter 12, he was having a discussion with some religious leaders, and one of the teachers of the law came to him, and they heard Jesus debating with others, and he heard that Jesus had given them a good answer. And whenever he heard this, he said this question, of all the commandments, in his mind, teacher of the law, there were over 400 rules and regulations that they were supposed to follow. And so he says, in all of those commandments, which is most important? Which should be at the top of the list? What should be the priority of my life? And then Jesus responds and he says, here's what should be at the top. Here's what should be of first and most important priority in our life, and that is to love God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength. That's the chief priority for our lives, to love God. Another place, Jesus said it this way, Matthew 6, 33. Jesus said, seek first. This is kind of where this whole series idea came from. All throughout the scripture, God says, this is to be first. This is to be first. This is to be first. And in this instance, Jesus gives us the clear picture in the New Testament where he says, this should be first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all that other stuff. And he had just talked about food. He had just talked about shelter. He had just talked about the necessities of life. He said all that other stuff will take care of itself. How many of us worry about stuff that we have no control over? And Jesus said, here's the solution. Stop worrying about that. Worry more about the kingdom, and God will take care of all that other stuff that we worry about. So that kind of reminds me, when I think about first things first and keeping things in the right order, reminds me of this illustration that I want you to take a look at. It's a little bit old, but I think you'll get the point. Take a look.
Your name is?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, you have a work life?
I do.
Family life as well?
Mm-hmm.
Children?
Not yet.
Not yet. What's the nature of your work? Assignment.
I direct an international firm.
An international firm.
Mm-hmm.
So you really are interfacing with all kinds of people in the firm and outside the firm.
That's right.
You want a rich personal life and a rich family life. Do you ever feel like you get bogged down in the thick of thin things?
Yes.
Well, that might be analogous to all these little small things that tend to fill our life, and that just little by little they just accumulate. Now, your job, you can't go above this, is to get all those large rocks in the jar. Good luck. What's that one called?
Q2. Planning, preparation.
Right. Planning, preparation, prevention, and empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next rock she's putting in there is called relationships and family. You didn't look at that third rock you put in there. That's employment, some key employment issue, and then you put major projects here. I can't get it above there.
I haven't worked it yet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair. That's called service, community, church. Do you ever feel like this?
Yes.
How many feel like this? by moving the little things around, you might squeeze in one more of those big major things. It's almost. Wow, that is good. You know, if it doesn't fit, force it. Here's something that's called urgent and important. It's a quadrant one thing that is blindsiding you, that it's your biggest client, that if you don't get back to that client now, you've given up your vacation. And you have no special block of time just for yourself. I'll tell you what you can do if you want to.
What's that?
You can take a whole different approach. You have a totally fresh bowl. You can work out of a different paradigm altogether.
Well, then I'd rather put these in the bottom and then put a little pebbles on top.
Employment.
Big opportunity.
Big opportunity.
Important and urgent. Block of time. Those young children keep looking at me. Glad my husband's not here. Now I dump these in there.
Okay.
We have to put the big rocks in first. And Jesus says that loving God is the biggest rock that we can put in our life. It is the first capital that must be in our life in order for us to live the abundant life that God wants for each of us. I think about how Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. It's to encompass every facet of our life. In fact, I want to invite you to read that out loud and together with me. Let's read it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. That is the chief call to every believer. And sometimes I think believers, maybe even if you're not a Christian, you might be like, oh, that's just so many rules and regulations. And it might feel like, oh, this is such a duty that I follow these things and do these things. And I think about it like this. Ashley and I are married. We've been married coming up on 20 years. And we got married when we were teenagers. So, no, I'm just kidding. We got married. March will be 20 years for us. And I could look at marriage and think, oh, so many rules to marriage. I mean, so this is like the old ball and chain. Like, you know, like, I could look at it, but I don't, because I'm in love with Ashley, and that love drives the relationship in every way, shape, and form. And I think about how God simply doesn't have rules. I think about when He says to love God, it's an invitation. It's saying, "Come on, love me. I want to be connected with you, and I want you to be connected with me." And here, when we see Jesus say, love God, he's talking about a love relationship. John 4 talks about the kind of worshipers that God is looking for, and he says, I want those people who are in love with me. And that's who I'm looking for. In the book of Revelation, God talks to one of the churches, and he says something like this in the book of Revelation. He's like, hey, good job, church. Like, you're doing a great job. Like, look at all that giving you gave to missions this year. Good job. Like, you're sending 24 people to Roatan, Honduras this year. Good job. You led 35 people. Did you know that, church? You led 35 people to Jesus Christ last year in 2018. Good job. Like, we should praise God for that, really, honestly, because all the angels of heaven rejoice when one sinner comes to repentance. Hey, good job. And yet, Revelation 2:4 says, yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken your first love. You did all the good things. You were obedient and you chased after it, but you forgot the basis of why you were doing what you were doing, and that is that it flows out of a love relationship with me. And he goes on to say, return, remember the height from which you've fallen, repent and do the things you did at, what's that word, first. If you do not repent, I'll come to you, I'll remove the lampstand, the symbol of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'll take that away, and I'll stop moving in your life. Remember your first love. God would say, remember the motivation by which you follow me. Remove any obstacles. I heard someone say repentance is painful. Like, but repent and it equals a moment of pain. Unrepentance equals a lifetime of pain. Repent. Remove the obstacles and rejoin the path of obedience. And we've said it over and over, you have an opportunity to do that through the ministry here at the Church at Lake Travis. Get connected in a small group where people are moving in God's direction so that you kind of get caught up in the flow with them so that you begin to move in God's direction. That's part of joining the path of obedience. And I think that it's really helpful to simply answer the question, are you in love? Are you in love with God? And that's just another way of saying, is spiritual capital at the top? Is it above relational capital? Is it above physical capital? Is it above intellectual and financial capital? Because if it's not, then maybe it's time that it should be. Maybe you're here and you would say, yes, it is at the top for me. Or maybe you're here and you would say, no. It's okay. We're honest here at the Church of Lake Travis. Or maybe you're here and you would say, I don't know. Well, each and every week we've kind of taken a time to evaluate. So let me demonstrate it this way. Jesus told a story in the New Testament in Matthew 7 where he gave one of his greatest sermons, and he told this parable to drive home his point about what he was saying. In Matthew 7:24, he says this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, this great sermon, and puts them into practice is like a wise man. Everybody say wise man. Who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. I heard this week and just shouted praise to God right where I was in my house, because the phrase I heard was, when your life is built on the rock, the devil can't sow seeds into your life. Somebody should say amen to that. Like, that's a good word. If you are building your house on the rock with God as the foundation, you're hearing the word and you're putting it into practice. But, he says in verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man. Everybody say foolish man. Who built his house on sand. And the rain came down and the streams rose up. And the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The interesting thing is that both builders in the story hear from Jesus. Both of them hear the words of God. The difference that made all the difference was whether or not they put it into practice or not. Whether or not they took action based on what God had told them to do. Putting Jesus' words into practice makes us like the wise builder. Hearing Jesus' words but doing nothing with them makes us like the foolish builder. Putting Jesus' words into practice is simply how we grow our spiritual capital. Maybe it is down on the rung of the ladder. It's not at the top, and you need to move it up. Here's how you do it. You listen to what God is saying to you, and you obey what God is saying to you. Hearing and doing, we're constantly asking that question around here. What is God saying to you, and what are you going to do about it? So we're going to evaluate, as we've done each week. Let's take a look at this picture up on the screen. The top represents someone who is high hearing, like you're really good at listening to what God has to say. For the far right-hand side, that's high doing. You're super obedient, like you go for it. When you look at this, you can see there's these different quadrants that we might find ourselves in at any given point in time. And most often, I find that most of us are either really good at hearing or we're really good at doing, but it's really, really challenging to be over in the far right-hand quadrant. So let's just walk around and talk about the different aspects. The forgetful person is the person who is really, really good at listening. Like you listen to podcasts, you're studying the Bible, you're learning, you're going to Connect Track, you're going to small group. You're great at listening, and yet putting it into practice isn't so easy for you. You're forgetful, and I would say that a lot of us find ourselves in that boat. If we go over here to the next quadrant, this is the frustrated person. That is someone who is arrogant and self-sufficient. They aren't listening to what God says, and they're not doing what God's saying to do. So they are living a frustrated life, stuck, and not able to move forward and ultimately bear fruit in their life. Other people are fumbling around. They're highly obedient, like they're going after it, going on mission trips, serving, giving, being involved in church. But they're missing this ability to stop and listen to the Holy Spirit and what He's saying to them directly. They're not creating space in their life to listen. And so they're missing out on the fruitful life that God wants for them. And then finally, up here in the far right-hand quadrant, we have people who are humble enough to listen to what God is saying. And they're courageous enough to step out and obey. That's where the magic happens. That's where we live fruitful lives. I heard this week that if you're a believer in Christ, then you're called to bear fruit in your life. That's not like weird kind of fruit, like fruits, nuts, and flakes. That's like you're called to see other people come to know Jesus as a result of your life. You're called to have the fruit of the Spirit at work in your life, in my life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. That's the kind of fruitful and faithful life that God wants for each of us. Now, what's important to remember is that when we look at a matrix like this, we have to evaluate our life and to say, what do I need more of? Do I need more hearing or do I need more doing? And when we look at this, let me just share with you a couple of ideas for hearing, improving your hearing from God. And what I want to do is I'm going to bullet this like just a few bullets, and then I want you to choose, if that's you, if you need to improve your hearing, I want you to choose one thing off the list that you will work on this week, that you'll focus on doing this week, okay? So here we go. First one is to create more white space in your life to hear. How many of us know there's so much noise going on around us? There's so much noise. And we just need to create some space where we turn off the email, get off the social media, create some white space. Another way to improve your hearing, I tell people this all the time, the primary way that God is speaking to us is through His Word. Some people want a big voice from heaven to speak audibly to them, and I just don't believe that God consistently does that. But I tell you what, every time you open the pages of this book, God is speaking to you. And so make that a regular part. Develop a Bible reading plan. Ashley and I, last 2 years, we used the chronological Bible, which is kind of neat because it takes Job and pulls it into Genesis, because that's probably about the time period that Job was written in. And then a little bit later, it has 1 Kings and 1 Samuel all mixed together. It's just neat to read it that way if you haven't ever. And you get a chunk of 4 or 5 chapters a day that you read, and we did that the last couple of years. We shifted over to walk through the Bible, 1 year Bible reading plan this year. I'm just saying, it's good to have a plan, okay? Consider a Bible reading plan, craft a daily quiet time. And what does that mean? It means to find a specific time, a specific place. I'm gonna sit at this place, on the couch, by the lamp, in the morning with my coffee. Like, I'm gonna spell it all out, right? I'm gonna have a plan for creating quiet time. Plug more deeply into church community. I said this last week. You're gonna hear more from God if you're in community with other believers than if you're out golfing with your golf buddies. Seek out a person to learn from, mentoring. Like, you know someone who's really good at hearing from God, and you just ask them questions. How do you hear from God? What does that look like for you? Learn. Reflect on different ways that you've heard from God in the past. Here's the truth. God consistently will speak to us in the manner in which He's spoken to us in the past. And so think about those ways. And then look back and see, has God recently been speaking to you in a similar way? He doesn't always speak to us in a new way. Pick one. If you need to improve your hearing, which one will you focus on this week? Okay, you got it? Shake your head yes if you got it. Okay? Now, how about improving your obedience? The first one is, I believe, hold yourself accountable by writing down what you feel like God is saying to you in some type of journal exercise where you're spelling it out. This is what I heard God say. I do that in my own life because that holds me accountable. It's a written record. And the next one is to invite community into the process, because the moment that I share it with someone else, then I'm held accountable for that behavior. God's calling me to do this, and I'm going to share it with my small group, and as a result, my small group's going to hold me accountable and encourage me along the way. Hey, how's that going? How's He working in your life? So that's another way. Invite community. Again, learn from others. People that are really good, you think, man, they're rock stars. Like, they're obeying God at levels that I would love to obey God. And I want to ask them and talk to them about that. And then finally, take a chance. Like, sometimes we're paralyzed with fear. We don't step out in faith simply because of fear. And we're asking all these questions, and we're worried and concerned, and what if, and what if, what if, what if. And God simply says, I'm just asking you to trust me. Step out in faith. Take a chance. what has God been prompting and talking to you about, and where can you just take a small step forward? You don't have to make the huge leap, but what's a small step you could take in His direction and what He's calling you to? So one thing off that list, if you need to improve your obedience, what is the one thing that God might be wanting you to focus on this week? And wherever you find yourself in that matrix of hearing and doing, know that God meets you right where you are. God's not casting judgment on you. He's inviting you into relationship. He's inviting you into the abundant, fruitful life that He wants for each of us. Here's what I believe. If we will prioritize our life, if we'll put first things first, and we'll keep spiritual capital at the top, and we'll focus on relationships, and we do a good job with that, and we focus on taking care of ourselves physically, making sure we're healthy and strong, and we're productive with our lives, and we're managing our time and energy well, if we'll do those things, and we'll bless others with intellectual capital, and we'll share our ideas that are helping us grow with other people, instead of holding them to ourselves, and we take our financial capital and we say, God, this isn't mine, this all belongs to You, and so here's a portion of it. If we'll do those things in that order, God will bless your life. He will simply bless your life. Your professional life will get better. Your business will grow. Your personal life will get better. Your personal life will grow. You'll begin to see fruit in your life like never before. I'm convinced of it. So where are you at? I want to invite the band to come and prepare as we spend a moment reflecting on what God is saying to us. In fact, we'll simply ask those two questions as a conclusion to this message today. What is God saying to me? What is God saying to me? And then, what am I going to do about it? How am I going to obey what God's saying to me? So why don't you bow your heads right where you are?
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.